This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
I am Anne Applebaum. I run the Transitions Forum at the Legarten Institute, and I am speaking to Mariam Memmer-Sadeghi, who runs Tivana, an online e-learning organization that teaches civic education, democracy, and human rights in Persian to Iran. Good morning, Mariam. Talk to me at first a little bit about what Iranian propaganda is, how it works, and what its goals are.
Well, Iranian propaganda, like the propaganda of most regimes aiming for totalitarian control, total control of society, has an aim of disempowering the individual and empowering the state, atomizing society, isolating Iranians from each other and from the rest of the world, making each individual feel very peculiar, distrusting of others in society, and propaganda by the Iranian government also, of course, works to create a lot of misinformation, misunderstanding, in particular about the United States and Israel, a lot of hatred, militaristic attitude, and then denies information about a whole host of subjects, most notably the rights of minorities, particularly religious minorities. The Baha'i are persecuted, and the persecution is fueled by a lot of conspiratorial thinking and distrust and hatred. And of course, no information is provided, and a lot of denial is cultivated about the Holocaust.
And what are the means through which? Is this television? Is it social media? Are there techniques that the Iranian regime uses?
We started Tivana in 2010. Akbar Atri and I, my partner and I, started in 2010. In the beginning, we started with a focus on live e-learning classrooms. And that's still our flagship product, if you will. But since the rise of social media, particularly Facebook in Iran, we push out our educational resources, which are all open access, free for anyone, no login required. We push them out through various social media outlets. We have podcasts on SoundCloud. We have video lectures on YouTube, lots of different ways of getting the information. And then we air our lectures on satellite TV channels. So about six nights a week, usually sometimes every night of the week, Iranians can watch their favorite lecturer, say Mehrangi Zakar on women's rights or Mehdi Khalaji on the need for Islamic reformation. They can follow those opinion leaders, those intellectuals on satellite TV.
And how do you address, you spoke very interestingly about this idea that the regime uses propaganda to separate people and make people feel alone. How do you combat something like that? How do you think about that?
Well, in our classrooms, the actual methodology of a live classroom that is completely safe, our students come in with an anonymous user ID number that we give them. They can only enter with that ID, and even the Tivana teachers don't know the real identities of their students. So immediately, we did this from the very beginning, and alongside it have invested a lot in educating Iranian society at large, not just civil society, about digital safety, all the different things you need to do at a very basic hygiene level, and then the more advanced things you need to do to keep civil society and society at large protected online. So they come in through the anonymous user ID, they feel safe, but much more importantly, they hear themselves voice their opinions. They feel the freedom to question the teacher.
So they're able to interact with on your e-learning program.
Absolutely, yeah. They hear themselves. They hear each other. They engage in civic discourse, debate, disagreement. They have the freedom to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. It's a completely different, you know, existential possibility than what is happening on the ground in Iran. And especially in the beginning, the feedback that we got from our students often was, I can't believe that this is possible, that this is happening. And the effortless nature of it was kind of surprising for everybody, including us. We did not think that it would be, we've had our challenges for sure. I mean, the Iranian government, got to a point where several times a day they would attack our website to bring it down, and did lots of other things to try and kind of curb our influence. But Google has given us refuge on their servers. We've had lots of support and help from other places, and it's been very possible.
How do you combat? You mentioned conspiracy theories. How can you combat a conspiracy theory? Because conspiracy theories work by playing on people's anxieties or something they're afraid might be true, and they often have they have echoes in different places. You know, you'll find it on mm-hmm. different websites. You'll find the same story. You'll find it in online comments. You'll hear it on TV. Do you think about that? Do you think how to react to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think making human the stories of the people who you're supposed to, Iranians are supposed to hate, is very important. I read The Diary of Anne Frank as a child, and it influenced me. It has always influenced me. It's influenced me my whole life. I think it's one thing to be told that anti-Semitism is wrong, that racism is wrong. It's another to connect on a human-to-human level with the pain and suffering of another human being. And it's important for us to educate through not just facts and information, but human emotion, and inspire empathy and compassion and understanding that we're all human, that all Iranians are human, that all Iranians are equal, but as importantly, all people in the world are, and Iran is a part of the larger human family. I mean, it's difficult. There is a lot of misinformation about the Baha'i, but there's also now increasingly, because of the internet, really, I have to say it's 90% because of the internet. Even people who are regime insiders, like Nourizad, have left the regime, not just its institution, but its thinking, and have joined the opposition and have become outspoken, particularly on the regime's hardest red lines, which is one of them is the rights of the Baha'i. So he's gone to the homes of people who Baha'is who are in prison and visiting their kids and asking their kids for forgiveness for what the regime has done to them. So we really try to amplify that kind of very personal activism, very moral activism. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense of numbers? Do you know how many people participate in your programs and watch your programs?
Well, we have received over 16,000 applications from Iranians who want to participate in our live classes, and we've taught over 2,000 in the live classes. But we have many, many more who are taking our correspondence classes. And through social media, Facebook alone, we have a very high level of engagement. I mean, we're talking at the beginning of 2015. I say that because every month, Facebook has much more reach inside of Iran, and the Tavana Project is sort of very connected to Facebook, and it's always growing. But right now, we're engaging between 1 to 2 million Iranians a week on Facebook, and engagement means clicking on or liking or sharing or commenting. The numbers of people who see our Tavana posts on Facebook is on average about 15 million a week as we speak now.
And you're not afraid that will be blocked, that the regime will try and block it?
This is all blocked. Everything we're talking about is blocked. But the Iranian people, like the Chinese and many others in the world, unfortunately have to use circumvention tools to get around regime filtering or blocking of the internet. But Iranians do that almost as a matter of course. The far bigger challenge for the Iranian context is that the regime by design lowers bandwidth, so it intentionally creates a very slow internet, and that is our biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have plans for the future? How do you intend to expand?
We when we first started with Tavana, and then we a couple years ago started the Tavana Tech Project, so a multifaceted service that provides society at large, but especially tech experts, with the cutting edge resources and builds their capacity to help civil society. So if you're a techie inside Iran, you know, how can you connect with an NGO or a newspaper or a group of activists to help them achieve their goals better and stay safer and more connected online? We're starting soon a new project, a sister project, focused exclusively on the idea of religious tolerance and combating hatred, recognizing the need for pluralism, countering Holocaust denial, understanding lessons from genocides, but also lessons from tolerance around the world. So a focus on more values-based approaches to understanding human rights and democracy.
Thank you very much.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.